Hare Rama.
Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Krishna,
जय ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंसा परिवराज विचार्य आश्रम कर श्री श्रीमार सुनाएंगे श्री श्री भक्ति विरांत स्वामी महाराज श्री गोपार अनंता कुछ वैष्णव बिंद की नमाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की वंश बहु श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य नित्यानंद श्री हरिदास भाषा श्री गोपार श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गो गोपीनाश्रम नरकुंगिरी गोदान की वृंदवृंदाम की मैपुर नदी कांति गंगा मैया की मैया की भक्ति देवी की तुलसी महारानी की सांबेर भक्त वृंदाय गौपी मंदिर और वॉइस के और वॉइस के और वॉइस के
One of my requests is pending about your interaction with Prabhupada, so I thought it would be a good idea to share with everyone. One of my requests for your interactions with Prabhupada is still pending.
Introduction to Prabhupada?
Your interactions with Prabhupada.
Interactions?
Yeah.
How did you meet him and how did you start?
So I think it could be a good forum to...
I met Srila Prabhupada in 1971. I came to Krishna consciousness probably in like May or June of 71. And I joined our society in Buffalo, New York. We had a temple there that had about 60 or 70 devotees living. One of Srila Prabhupada's first disciples, his name was Rupanuga. He was a New Yorker from New York City, and Srila Prabhupada requested him to go over to Buffalo. And there was a very big university, still the State University of New York at Buffalo. And Rupanuga started a class on Bhagavad Gita every Wednesday night at the school. And he went to the administration of the school and he told them, Bhagavad Gita is such an important literature. You should advertise that if your students enroll in this class, if they take the class for the whole semester, that she get one university credit. And so the university accepted that, and Rupanuga started giving a class Wednesday night. He would teach Gita, he would have kirtan, and he would cook a vegetarian feast for the devotees who came. And many, many, you know, of these stalwarts of ISKCON, they joined just as university students there. And so I joined in Buffalo. It was, my joining ISKCON was something that was not planned. It all happened by the grace of my spiritual master and by the grace of Sri Krishna. I didn't know that Bhagavad Gita existed. I didn't know what ISKCON was, I didn't know what Prabhupada was, but I met the devotees and I chanted Hare Krishna with them and I was very attracted by the chanting. So that was about late May or early June, and around the middle of July, Srila Prabhupada returned from India. He'd been ill, he'd gone to India to recover, he came back. And he made a big tour of the United States. And one of the temples that he stopped at was in Detroit. And Buffalo is not too far from Detroit, so all the members of the Buffalo Temple, we drove over to see Srila Prabhupada. And the first time I ever set my eyes on Srila Prabhupada was in the Detroit airport, 1971. And it was a very wonderful experience. There were hundreds of us who had joined ISKCON, and we'd heard the glories of Srila Prabhupada, but we'd never seen Prabhupada. We had surrendered our lives to Srila Prabhupada, and we'd never seen Srila Prabhupada. And so we were all there in the airport, all like 20-ish, 21-ish, shaved heads. And back then we used to keep these sikkas very big on the back of our heads, dressed in dhotis. And we didn't have proper kurtas at that time because none of us had been to India. So we were just wearing regular shirts and dhotis. And we had tilak. And the girls, they had saris. And it was very transcendental. And literally in the airport, that was back before the age of security. And there must have been 200 or 300 of us in the arrivals area waiting for Prabhupada and having kirtan. Very, very beautiful, melodious, loud kirtan right in the airport. And we had such anticipation to meet Krishna's pure devotee. And I can recall that the plane, the Prabhupada was in it, it landed and it pulled up to the terminal building. And back then they had the steps that would come down the side of the airplane, and then they'd have to enter the door and walk into the lounge. And we didn't see Prabhupada getting off the airplane, but people started walking up the steps. And these, imagine this is 1971, and ISKCON is really in a infantile state. And for most people, we were looking like the men from Mars. They'd never seen us before. And people were walking up the stairs, and they were staring at this assembly of devotees, and they were quite amazed. And then one man, he walked up, and he saw the devotees, and he got this big smile on his face, and he just went like this. He made this very sweeping movement, pointing towards the stairs. And the next thing we saw was the like shining head of Srila Prabhupada. And then we saw the shining saffron cloth. We saw the tip of his cane coming up. And then Srila Prabhupada appeared. And when he saw all of these young people who had come to Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada started smiling from ear to ear. And I was thinking, if he smiled anymore, he would have torn his face. He was smiling so brightly. And we all went down like rods. And we made dandavats to Srila Prabhupada in the airport. And I've compared my notes with others over the years who I met, who were there at that time. And we all felt like some wave of transcendental ecstasy just came over us. And when we rose up, many people were like crying and dancing and happiness. And Srila Prabhupada was smiling. The devotees approached him and they put garlands on him. And just to show you what type of people we were back then, they had like an asana that Prabhupada would sit on to give lectures in the temple. And my goodness, it was probably as big as one of these divans. They'd taken it to the airport. They put it right in the middle of the airport. And when Prabhupada, you know, came forward, they said, "Prabhupada, could you please give us a lecture in the airport?" And Srila Prabhupada said, "Why not?" And he went and he sat down. Then they brought a plate of mahaprasadam, some sweets and some fruit from the temple. And they offered Prabhupada mahaprasadam while he was sitting there. This is the first time I've ever seen this person. And he reached over and he took a piece of fruit. And instead of just like putting his fingers to his lips and eating the fruit like that, he probably took this piece of fruit and he opened his mouth and he tossed it in. And I'd never seen anything like that before. And I went, "Oh my God. Who is this person?" And then Srila Prabhupada requested some water to drink. So they had like a nice cup for Prabhupada. And he held his cup to drink, and I'd never seen this before, and I think maybe, you know, in India we see all the time, we don't drink directly from things. Prabhupada held his cup high over his head and the water went tumbling in. And I went, "Oh my goodness, what is this?" These simple things are just like so astounding for me. And then Prabhupada, he began to speak. And before he spoke, he went, "Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya." And all the devotees, "Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya." In the middle of an airport. And then Prabhupada began his lecture. And this is the first time I ever heard my divine master speak. And he began speaking, and I could not understand one word that he said. Because he spoke with a very profound, like, Bengali English accent. I couldn't figure it out. And I was sitting there as my, "What have I done? I've given my life to a man who I can't even understand when he speaks." And Prabhupada gave a whole lecture, and I'm sitting there. What is he saying? And at a certain point, he stopped. And he said, "Please believe me." He said very clearly, and I could understand this. "Please believe me when I tell you that you are not the body. You're not the body." And then he paused. And then again he said, "Please believe me when I tell you that you are not the body." And then he paused. And then the third time he said, "Please believe me when I tell you that you are not the body." And then he added, "I have had personal realization of this. Thank you very much." And later I read and I heard Prabhupada say that if you want a person to understand something, you say it three times. And he repeated it, "Please believe me when I tell you you're not the..." That's the only thing I understood. And then Prabhupada got up and he left, and he left the airport and he went to his accommodations by the temple. That was the first experience. Then Prabhupada came to the temple in the afternoon to give a class. And in the temple, he sat on this, on the big seat, and all the devotees they were having a beautiful kirtan in front of Prabhupada, and all the devotees were dancing. And Prabhupada's sitting there in his seat, and he's playing his kartals, and he's singing with the kirtan. And the temple president in Detroit, his name was Bhagwan Das. And Bhagwan Das was maybe, Bhagwan Das is 2 years older than me, maybe 3 years older than me. And he was a family man, and he just had his first son. His son was maybe 9 months old or something like that. So Bhagwan Das was dancing in the kirtan, and Bhagwan, his son was sitting on his shoulders. And his son, in his hands, he had a small set of kartals. And he was, the boy was playing exactly in the rhythm of the kartal, into the kirtan. He was playing perfectly. And Prabhupada was looking at this boy, and then Prabhupada stopped the kirtan. And Prabhupada said, he just asked a question. He said, how is it that this child can play these kartals so perfectly in rhythm to the kirtan? And Prabhupada said, he can play so perfectly because he was doing this in his last life. And then Srila Prabhupada, he just began to explain the whole concept of the soul lives forever. And we take birth in this world on the basis of our gunas, and our karma, and the activities that we performed in our previous lives. We probably gave a lecture, and we were all in ecstasy. And then the next morning, we went for the Bhagavatam class. And Srila Prabhupada sat down, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And then he read the verse and he began to speak. And I'm sitting there and I'm observing Prabhupada. Now I guess at that time, 1971, what would Prabhupada's age have been? Hare Krishna, thank you very much for coming. We will see you again. Thank you. Prabhupada must have been
72,
77. In 65, he was 70, wasn't he?
69,
70. Okay, so by 71, Prabhupada was 75 or something like that. And Prabhupada would be lecturing, and his mouth would become dry. So when he was lecturing, Prabhupada had this interesting thing that he would do. He'd go, and I'd never seen anybody do something like that before. And I'd heard all of these stories how Prabhupada was such an exalted soul, and I was thinking, if he's such an exalted soul, why is he doing something weird like that? That's my material mind trying to understand a transcendental personality. And sometimes Prabhupada would be lecturing, and he'd be with his eyes closed, and Prabhupada would like put his finger, and I would say, why is he doing like that? With my material facility for my mind, I was trying to like analyze a transcendental person, and I started becoming quite bewildered. So much so that by the evening I went to one of the Swamis and I said, Maharaj, I can't understand Srila Prabhupada. And he looked at me very compassionately. And he said, when you enter into the first grade, on your first day in school, you're not supposed to understand all the knowledge that you will have when you get a PhD. And basically, in his way of speaking, his American way of speaking, he said, "Aram se lalah." He said, "Just relax. Don't worry. Just be patient, you know." So I said, "Yes." Then the next morning, Prabhupada is going to come from his accommodations to the temple, and my mind started playing up, and I started thinking, oh my goodness, I'm going to look at this great personality who's spiritual, but I'm going to be looking at it from my material perspective again, and I don't think that's correct. And I was thinking, maybe instead of waiting in front of the temple to receive Prabhupada when he comes, I can go into the temple and I can go into the kitchen and I can do some seva. So I chose to go to the kitchen, and I was in the kitchen, I was peeling potatoes very nicely. And then the temple president came in into the kitchen. And very loudly he proclaimed, "All of you are asuras, because you did not come to greet your spiritual master when he came to the temple. He said, go immediately to the temple and offer your obeisances to Prabhupada." And I went, oh my God. I said, my mind is going to do something crazy when I go out there. But I followed the instruction, and I was saying, "Krishna, please give me some sign that this person, you know, is actually like an empowered spiritual personality." So I went out to the entrance of the temple room, and I started to bow down, and I was trying not to look towards Prabhupada. And I bowed down, and then I looked up and I just glanced at Prabhupada. And at that moment, Prabhupada glanced at myself. And really, just by seeing his divine grace, I started dancing like a madman. I started crying. I was singing. And Prabhupada just sitting there smiling. And I was thinking, this man is not from this world. He is not from this world. And then he left that afternoon. And because he like showed me this wave of his mercy, I like plucked up my courage in the airport, and I decided I was going to try to like walk up next to Prabhupada when he was walking through the airport. So Prabhupada's going through his gate, and he has a few hundred devotees walking behind him, having kirtan. You couldn't do that today in any airport. And so I sort of like positioned myself a little near to Prabhupada. And Prabhupada just looked over and he gave me one of his big, beautiful smiles. And then something interesting happened. Some American man, about 50 years old, he made his way through the crowd. And he just walked right in front of Prabhupada and he stopped in front of Prabhupada. Prabhupada stopped and he smiled at him. Prabhupada said, "Hare Krishna." And the man looked up and he said, "Swamiji, I have a question for you." So he said, "Yes, what is it?" And he said, "If I were to give you $1,000,000 right now, what would you do with it?" And Prabhupada said, "Oh, that's a very easy question to answer." He said, "I would print so many books about Krishna so people could become educated in the transcendental science of self-realization." And he said, "And also, I would build temples so that people could come and receive education about Krishna." And the man looked up at me and said, "Thank you very much." And he just walked away, and I was thinking, where's $1,000,000? So that was first seeing Srila Prabhupada. And I always say that I was never one of the generals of this time, but rather just foot soldier. For so many years, I was just the cook in temples in different places in the world. I love cooking. And once I was in Washington, I was at the Potomac, no, it was in Philadelphia, and I decided that I was going to cook the feast for the Sunday program in Philadelphia. And there were hundreds of Indians there, the congregation. And so I cooked many different preparations, but I made daiwada. And then I was serving the feast, and when I was serving the daiwada, then one Indian man was sitting there, and he started screaming, "Who has cooked these daiwada?" He said, "Whoever has done has made them better than my mother." So that was the beginning experience, and then one of the final experiences that I had with Srila Prabhupada is in 77, just before Srila Prabhupada departed from this world. I was the cook in Vrindavan. I had served in Toronto. I served in Buffalo from 71 till September 20th, 72. September 20th, 72, they installed deities of Radha and Krishna in Toronto. And we drove from Buffalo to Toronto for the installation ceremony. And then I requested my temple president, may I stay here? And he said, yes. So I served in Toronto from 72 till 77. In 77, I went to Vrindavan. I visited in 76, and Vrindavan just stole everything away. So I went back, and I was in Vrindavan for one day, and then I became the head cook of the Vrindavan temple. And it was very different, because in the West we always had gas, and we always had things like that. In Vrindavan at that time there were no gas bottles. We cooked on wood, and we cooked in these big pots, and the pots would become covered with soot. And by the time I walked out of the kitchen every day, I was completely black. You know, just black. And I would have to scrub myself with, we only had cold water, so I'd have to scrub myself with cold water. And there was some soap that was called bars or something, like Nirma, something like that. I would scrub myself with Nirma soap and a brush and cold water to try to become clean. And then Prabhupada was there, and Prabhupada was preparing to leave the world. So every day after I'd cook and clean myself, I'd go to Srila Prabhupada's room, and I would just sit in his room. And I would just chant my japa, and Prabhupada was just laying on his bed. He was so weak at that time. Prabhupada, he was suffering from complications due to diabetes. And Prabhupada was like a very, he wasn't like our generation. He was like maybe your parents or grandparents. He didn't like hospitals. He wasn't fond of doctors. He made us promise, never put me in a hospital. Never let them put pipes inside of me. You know, when it is time for me, when Krishna calls me, that is the time for me to go. Don't try to prolong my life. And basically all of 77, Prabhupada's health was in decline. So this is about the beginning of November. And I went to Prabhupada's room one afternoon, but the door was locked. And I was thinking, maybe Prabhupada is not feeling well on this day. And outside of Prabhupada's door, there was one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, who Prabhupada loved very much. And his name was Akinchana Krishnadas. Prabhupada's age, and he was very small like Prabhupada. He's very renounced. He was a Babaji. He was pacing back and forth in front of Prabhupada's room, and I knew who he was. Prabhupada told us he was a pure devotee. So I made dandavats, and I took dust from his lotus feet, and then I folded my hands, and I said, Maharaj, what do you want? He said, I want to see Prabhupada immediately. So I knew a back way into Prabhupada's room, so I went into Prabhupada's room, and Prabhupada was laying on his bed. And one of my godbrothers, Prabhupada's very close and trusted servant, his name was Tamal Krishna Goswami. He was sitting next to Prabhupada on the bed. And I went up, I walked into the room. Every time we went to Prabhupada's room, we would offer obeisance. Then I went to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and said, Krishna Das Baba is outside. He wants to see Prabhupada immediately. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj turned to Prabhupada and he said, Krishna Das Baba is outside of the room. He wants to see you immediately. And then Prabhupada looked up and said, bring him immediately. So then I ran outside and I took Maharaj by his hand. I said, follow me. And I took him into the room. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj got off the bed and sitting next to Prabhupada. And Babaji Maharaj sort of bounced up on the bed and sat down next to Prabhupada, and they were giving pranam to one another. And then I was thinking, now I'm going to learn something. Because I will see two pure devotees of Krishna before my eyes at the same time. I will see how they interact. This will be a lesson for me. So you know what they did? They started telling jokes to one another. And Babaji Maharaj, you would make a joke, and Prabhupada was laying on his bed, and he would sort of start bouncing with laughter. And then Prabhupada would say something funny, and Babaji Maharaj would sit there and laugh. And that was going back and forth, and then Babaji Maharaj said something, and Prabhupada went, And Prabhupada quoted a line from a song of one of our great acharyas in Bengali. And that line says, Dandara charana seva bhakta sanivas, janame janami hoy eyavilas. And that line, it means, my only desire, my only abhilash, is that birth after birth, I will live in the association of Vaishnavas and serve their lotus feet. And when Babaji Maharaj heard that, he went, And he paused for a moment. And then he cracked another joke. And Prabhupada started laughing, and then Prabhupada cracked another joke, and he started laughing. And then Babaji Maharaj said something, and Prabhupada went, Dandara charana seva bhakta sanivas, janame janame hoy eyavilas. And then I said, this is the lesson. Always stay in the association of Vaishnavas. Birth after birth after birth. And in their association, just serve the lotus feet. Bas. Nothing more. And I said, I take this such a valuable lesson today from my spiritual master. And then Prabhupada, he folded his hands and looked at Babaji Maharaj, he said, could you please sing for me? And this Krishna Das, he had a voice, his voice was a voice of love. And any like when he sang a bhajan or when he sang Maha Mantra, it was like each syllable had just been dipped in the honey of love. It's like he sang for Srila Prabhupada. He sang one song, it was just all names of Krishna. And then Babaji Maharaj folded his hands and said, Maharaj, he said, I must go. And Srila Prabhupada, he was just saying, thank you so much for coming here. Thank you so much for giving me your association. Thank you so much for chanting the holy names. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And I mean, they were like friends for life. The Prabhupada was with his heart. He said, thank you so much that you've come here. Thank you so much for being with us, being with me. And then Babaji Maharaj, he jumped up and he started to leave. And Prabhupada turned to Ramakrishna Maharaj and said, he must have prasadam before he goes. And then Ramakrishna Maharaj, he turned to me and he said, he must have prasadam before he goes. And so I said, yes. I offered my obeisances to Prabhupada. I ran out of the room. And by that time, Babaji Maharaj was sort of like in the guest house lobby at ISKCON. And I went to him and I said, Maharaj, please, you wait here. Srila Prabhupada wants you to have prasadam. He said, oh, yes. And so I quickly ran to the front of the temple, and I got him two basin laddus, you know, something very simple, with a tulsi leaf inside of one of those leaf cups. And I brought back to him and I said, Maharaj, here, this is Mahaprasadam. And he looked at me, yeah, with such a sincere heart. He looked at me and he said, thank you. Thank you. You've given me such a gift of Krishna's Mahaprasadam. Thank you so much. And he said, now, may I have your permission to leave? And I said, no, all right, please. So he got up to leave. But then something interesting happened as well. Back then, in our ISKCON guest house, we had two doors. We had the door that everybody knows now, and where the reception desk is, there used to be a door there. And there was like a door that had one step down. So Babaji Maharaj was stepping out that door, and he was stepping out the door, he looked, and he turned, and he saw that somebody was sitting there. And that somebody was Srila Prabhupada's sister, Pishima. And she was also a pure devotee of Krishna. And Pishima was very interesting. She was a widow, so she always dressed in white. And she was one of these elderly ladies that had back problems. She was like pretty much bent over from her waist. And she always had her head covered with a sari, but when you looked inside, it was like Srila Prabhupada's face on a woman's body. I mean, they looked so much alike, brother and sister. And he looked and he saw Pishima, and this huge smile came on his face. And she looked up and saw him, and this huge smile came on her face. And so then he was standing there like this with his Mahaprasadam. And Pishima, she wanted to come to him and take dust from his lotus feet. And he was like, yes, yes. And every time that she was just getting ready to touch his feet, he would scoot back about 3 or 4 inches. And he would just start laughing so hard. And she would look at him, and then Bengali would go, chastising him. And he was laughing and laughing, and he said, okay. And then she would try to touch again, and he would back up. And he'd start laughing. And she'd start, and then finally he said, okay. And so she was such a wonderful devotee. And they'd known one another their whole lives. And she went and she was like you know, just touched his feet, but then Kishima was, she took her glasses off. She's like rubbing her eyes, touching her head, holding to her heart, because she understood just the value of a moment's association with pure devotee. And then Babaji Maharaj looked at her and smiled and said, I have Mahaprasadam. Would you like Mahaprasadam? And here you have like this Bengali lady who must have been 78 years old. I mean, and she was a world-class cook. Just think how many basin ladus she must have made in her life. You know, for so many Diwalis and so many different Janmashtamis and so many different functions. And she went, Mahaprasadam. And she got this huge smile on her face. And Babaji Maharaj took a basin ladu and put in her hand. And Kishima, she always carried a little bottle of Ganga Jal in her hand. And she said, I have Ganga Jal. You want Ganga Jal? And he just like, Ganga Jal. And he held his hand out with Ganga Jal and took. And then they exchanged words, and Babaji Maharaj turned and he left. And I saw this beautiful exchange between all these pure devotees. You know, it's just an exchange based on love. One morning, Kishima had been leaving the temple, the side of the temple, and because she was elderly, she sort of stumbled a little bit on the step, and I was there and I caught her. And then after I called her, you know, I said, Kishima, can you tell me, why do you always have that bottle of Ganga Jal in your hand? And she looked at me and she said, it is like this. She said, I am living inside of this very old body. And this body is such a nasty thing. It is composed of all nasty things. She said, so I keep the Ganga Jal, and whenever I sit someplace, when I get up, I sprinkle a few drops of Ganga Jal to purify that place. Can you imagine consciousness like that? Like super consciousness. So we don't have time to... Like I said, I wasn't a general, I was a foot soldier. I had a few moments of association with Srila Prabhupada, but perhaps on an upcoming visit, we can share more of those
experiences.
Okay, thank you all for coming tonight, and thank you for being so kind to have me here in Krishna Katha Desh, Doha. And I hope that I can come back soon and have your association again. Thank you all very much. And we have some Mahaprasadam over here.
Everyone can come and take prasadam from
us. Everybody can come.
She's from Kolkata, Vinita ji.
Oh,
and she has temple at home, and Rath Yatra comes from her.
Jagannath Puja.
Uh-huh.
And about 10 to 15,000 people join us for Rath Yatra every year.
Wow. Just in your neighborhood?
At my house. It starts from my house. And 9 days of seva.
Wow.
We have a Pratishtha of Jagannath ji at home.
Madhava, come.
You know, Srila Prabhupada, when he was a child, when Prabhupada was a child in Calcutta,
Yes.
Have you heard that before?
Yes.
He was organized by the Astra, and so many people would come. So your home is Calcutta?
Yes.
And you live here now?
Yes.
next time I'm going to come, you should get into one of them.
Sure.
When you get any of your friends from Calcutta, you will be coming here.
There are a lot of Calcuttans here. You want to meet them?
If you tell them before they come, they should go to Deen Chandranag.
Oh, yes.
On Nirmal Chandra Street.
Of course.
They should bring Shashtal Sandesh.
Gulabpati.
Okay.
Of course. When you come here next, please inform me. If there is someone coming, it will definitely be.
Right. Hare Krishna. So nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
He's her husband. Sanjay, yes.
How are you?
He works with me, Gurmat, and he's my work mentor.
Oh, Hare Krishna. Is he behaving himself?
Very well behaved.
Good.
If he falls out of line, I'll let him
know. No, if he falls out of the line, you use bamboo lucky.
Thank you, Lord. Yesterday after class, he was hugging me and saying, "Can you get me a mercy from him?" I said, "You can ask yourself."
What is your name?
Yugal Kishore.
We have another Yugal Kishore in Dubai.
Yes. Yaguji is Yugal Kishore.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why does that disciple apply Yugal
Kishore? No, I want to.
He's from Chindwara, she's from Nandigarh. And they also want to do my
thing.
You're meeting every Saturday.
Every Saturday,
she's Mona Matai. She was the host yesterday. She's Udhav Shivan and Ron Swadhani. And Gurmaj Sumit Kumar Muramathani and Sumit Kumar. You'd accept them as your students. Udhav. Yeah.
For real? Are you a hostess?
I was. I used to. And I'm working in the office now.
She's the boss. When she goes on the plane, they say that everybody. So she you do audits and stuff, quality audits and stuff.
You know, I flew with Qatar for the first time. I was in Muscat. I was a regular. That's when I took the Roy Hawaii bus to Muscat.
No, I hope not. No, I'd like to change that instead of my reputation. But I hope to have the pleasure of serving you one day.
Mumbai. I hope we can see you. We can see you more often.
Yes, now that we're around. Yes, absolutely. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.
He's Prabhat. He is also associating every Saturday with us for Bhagavad Gita class. And he's running an NGO in India, so they're doing a lot of work in empowering kids with knowledge and new skills.
You know, that's why I wanted to show you one picture. So,
Where's your home in India?
You know the Srila Prabhupada started in Jhansi? You know that? Yeah, he,
this son is very very enthusiastic. He sings Jai Radha Madhav, he sings Narsingha prayer, and even in, without telling, in the car when they set off anywhere, he starts singing Narsingha prayer.
Wow. What's your
name? I ate already.
Really? Would you like number two?
No.
Oh. Okay. Did your mom get one?
So they're regularly meeting as well, Gurmat, so Bhagavad Gita, Pavanji, Prabhat.
Prabhu, did you have a cupcake? Who is this?
Gaurav Kakkar, he's my, he's also chartered accountant and...
She's also
Gurmat, there are some people you meet and you know you click like this, so it happened with us like this. You know, we met and we clicked very well.
Wonderful.
And she's Samir. This is my finding a good friend.
Atharv. And who?
Atharv.
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 Oh. Did you have a cupcake?
Yes, that's her cupcake.
Oh, I see.
Guru Abhinash have been very, very good friends and very family.
Yeah, the purest of
souls. No.
Exactly.
Very dirty.
So when you said satsang, I only had Ankur
and there are very few friends.
No,
you know, I travel a lot, so really it's very difficult to meet. There are few friends who I remember. You know, sometimes I just call him, let's have a coffee together. Sometimes he couldn't. Both of them are wonderful. The ones who are doing so much, really good to be here. As you said, we associate with good people. That's the best example we have here.
Guru Maharaj, when Himani comes, Himani plays with her, even though there's so much age difference, but they get along so well, and Madhva and Atharva were best friends.
Wow. Your girlfriend Himani has gone to Switzerland.
Do you know Himani? She's traveling, she's not here. She's
gone to play in the snow.
She's skiing.
She's going to try to go to the snow. We hope she doesn't come back with a broken leg.
I am actually half broken, but not very broken. I had an accident recently.
Oh, really?
During my quad bike motor. Came on me, so this side of me, badly damaged.
Wow.
In the wrist. So skiing is another sport. I won't stay away from
it. No, for last 2 months, her teacher was sending her like things to practice so that the kids become fit for
We were asking them to do skates.
They go to DFC practice.
Playing with gravity is not good, is what I learned.
You know, a number of years ago I was at Rathiatra in Durban, South Africa, down on the beachfront.
Yeah.
And the whole beachfront, they had the cities that sort of different.